Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, citizens from around the world. The planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. Mick Williams Summerland coming at you around the world via the internet, coast to coast via satellite on the USA Radio Network. Okay, we stowed the bagpipes. Everybody's drinking some kind of green liquid except for the pilot and the co-pilot, who are not allowed to have alcohol due to FAA regulations. Did I mention this is an experimental sub? Screw FAA regulations. Okay, so it's water with food coloring.
Don't you mean the FCC?
It's radio. Hey, who's flying the boat? FAA or the FCC?
Actually, it's a little of both.
Okay, one drinks the red liquid, the co-pilot drinks the green liquid. There, you happy now? Anyway, greetings and welcome to Hour 2. For those of you carrying us tape delayed and from Hour 2 to Hour 3, also commonly known to the rest of you as the first hour. Anyway, what did you miss the previous hour? You missed Emmy talking about her Hawaiian moments and revisiting 5-0. That's okay, though. You can catch it off the Hawaii 5-0 first season DVD. And that's right, Chris has a copy, and I have a copy. And Chris bought his own copy, and I went out and ponied up for my own copy because I didn't get to Paramount in time to go, oh, please, sir, can we have one, please, to test? Yes, please. So we had to get it in time for the show, so
yeah.
That's okay.
Unfortunately, I got mine on the way in, so I haven't had a chance to watch anything.
Now, I got to ask you a question. Where did you get yours?
I got mine at Fry's.
How much did you pay for it?
$39.
Oh, sucker. Go back. They match prices? They don't match prices, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I went for the Fry's effect, too, and I went to Walmart and went, okay, it's $34. Then I waited to see what Fry's, because Fry's came out, like, they have the little Monday-Tuesday ad.
Yeah.
And they kind of, like, do a last-minute thing, the Wednesday-Thursday, shh, be very quiet, and then Friday, boom, the big four-page ad. And so I didn't see anything on Tuesday. I sure as heck thought with it coming out that Tuesday that they'd have some kind of a special deal, and they didn't. So Friday rolled around, they opened it up, circled the thing, ooh, Hawaii 5-0, $39.99. And I go, okay, I got to go check with Walmart, because generally Walmart's higher, and I bring in the Fry's and go, nee, 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 you have to match me. And then they go, and then they match it. This time, I had egg on my face, because they had it for $34, and, you know, $5 less than Fry's. That's okay. I got it for $34 and then took out my little discount card and went, boop, thank you, 10% off, which you can't do if they match the price.
Well, I was at Fry's, and it would cost me that much to drive across town to the Walmart. So.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's $5. I mean, it's not that big. I mean, you can see, well, you know, if I got it at Best Buy and it's like $48.
Yeah. Well, see, I was at Fry's Thursday looking for something, trying to get some information. I thought, oh, let me check. And I walked by, and it was $49. Went, nope, too much. Not going to buy it.
Where?
At Fry's. Thursday.
Okay. They must have went back up after the ad.
But when I went in there today, I went, oh, $39. Okay, I'll pay that. So
that's,
I grabbed a copy.
Okay.
The last copy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah, it's funny. When I mentioned with Emmy, we have Dallas. First season came out about a year ago. Boy, no record sales here. You know, I'm sure people would have, hey, that's me back there, you know, sitting on the horse. And I mean, because just like Hawaii 5-0, where they had locals that filled in, line one, by the way, for locals, you know, that filled in Hawaii 5-0, God, we had a boatload of people that were locals in Dallas.
Well, that's true. But didn't most of it get filmed, I mean, Dallas and stuff, wasn't it filmed, was it filmed here or was it filmed in Los Angeles?
Filmed here.
The interior shots were probably L.A., especially the final episode where they showed this place that supposedly was in Dallas is like a cul-de-sac of new homes,
mm-hmm.
and there's a big mountain in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little continuity issue there, brother.
Now, Walker, Texas Ranger, that was
filmed. Now, Walker is a
here.
Perfect example of being here, too. Yes, thank you. But I, you know, somebody probably out there is thinking, hey, what about Walker? And I'm thinking, well, Walker is still only 10 years old since it left, whereas Dallas is pushing 30 years. In fact,
right.
Ironically, we were talking off the air, Hawaii 5-0, the first episode next year, I think September, October, it will be 40 years since the premiere episode. You're talking about Dallas about in the same time frame, started
yeah.
in 78. It'll be 30 years for Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And Victoria Principal is still hot.
You know, I got a kick. Emmy was talking about how she was doing a scene. She was an extra, and her scene got cut.
Yeah.
Well, I was an extra over on Walker, Texas Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
We went out very early in the morning, like 6:30 a.m., very early. Got out there, did lots and lots of film footage. We were out there standing around, just, you know, which, because a lot of when you do an extra work, it's, you know, hurry up and wait. I mean, you're
yep.
standing around all day waiting for them to film their whatever key sequence is they're trying to film. Well, we were out there from 6 in the morning to like 9 o'clock at night, and it was getting cold. And we're having we're even standing around talking to Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
It was great. It was very cool. We were all around a little fire because it's so cold out there. We're all huddling around trying to get warm.
And Chuck's a great guy. You know, he always has this persona about, I'm going to look at you the wrong way and kick your butt. I mean, I would go to the Mesquite Rodeo. He had a box up there.
Uh-huh.
Real nice guy. If he was down there getting popcorn or something, he'd talk to you. Real, honestly nice guy. Still lives around the area. And here, probably right now, the closest thing we've got going on is Prison Break. Which really has nothing to do with us, but they have decided to film.
Oh, they're filming some here, right?
A lot of around here, especially around Collin County, Plano, all up in there. And every time we go to work in the morning, it's always like this, okay, listen, you can't go down this road because it's blocked off for filming. So remember to go somewhere else.
No.
Oh, yeah, traffic reports. If you ever listen to BAP or whatever, a prison breaks up near McKinney. Don't go up there.
Just real quick on that Walker text, right? We're filming all day. Finally, the show comes out, and I get in there just a couple minutes late for the show. Everything that we filmed that day was over before the opening credits.
Yeah. Well, you want to know something?
What?
I'm in Walker, Texas Ranger.
You are.
Sort of, and mine didn't get cut out.
No. Mine didn't get cut.
Yeah?
It was just that everything, it took over, you know, the whole day of filming.
Right.
It was all done before the opening credits.
Second or third season? There was an episode, and they kind of brought him back in recurring as this guy was like a bumbling bomb expert. Hire him, you blow things up. And then later on, he's supposed to testify against somebody, and they're flying on a plane, and it crash lands in a field somewhere, and then this guy is like, you know, on the plane, supposed to kill him, and Walker's trying to protect him while still trying to survive, and they're looking for him, you know, because the plane's down. But in that first shot, when he came in, he blew up something with what looked like a PDA. He pulls it out, he types some stuff in, hits a button, sends a signal over, boom. That was a Scion. It was either a Scion 3A or it was the cheap little, yeah, see, you think it happens to you all the time. When I come back, I'll tell you the story. Cyberline with you, 800-992-8721.
But you forget?
I was looking over. I can't see the small print as well as I used to.
You've got to pay attention to one thing.
Yes,
stop looking at the different monitors.
I look at the monitor, and then I look at the board, and then my eyes cross.
And get your eyes off the Hawaii 5-0 disc.
Well, let's see if for the third hour you can keep your eye
that
on
that DVD
one
made of wood.
But let's see if you can remember the email address.
Host2007 at cyber-line.com.
But, oh, not bad.
Yeah. I was just happened to look in here. I was thinking, hey, if we go to Hawaii, that means we got to stop off in L.A. so we can see Krista for, what, maybe 10 minutes at the gate. Hi, Krista. How you been? Oh, look at the time. We're going to go back on the plane, refueled, and then head to Honolulu.
if we go on American, which is what all my miles are on,
yeah,
they have
mine
a,
too.
They have a nonstop flight from here to Honolulu. Leaves at 10 in the morning.
Oh, that's great. How are we going to see Krista?
Well,
goes breakfast with Krista.
We'll have to, you know, use some of my miles to have her head over from San Diego then.
Oh, well, since you have more miles than I do, you can just slice that one off.
But, no, the flight from here to San Diego and then over is MD-80s.
Yeah. You're kidding.
No.
Over the Pacific?
Well, I'm not sure about the one over
the Pacific. Are there gun turns on these things?
I'm not sure about over the Pacific, but I know that from here to San Diego or L.A. is an MD-80. And a nonstop is a 767.
I was going to say, it'd have to be a big jet going over the water. I was thinking, yeah, that's right. It's part American Airlines saving on fuel and to make up money on the trip. They put gun turns on the side and they do a reenactment of Pearl Harbor, and you're the guys that, right at the wide-angle view, just like it's like the zeros coming in. It's like, oh, wow, so this is what it was like. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
Scion had a 3A out at the time, and then the 5MX was just coming out, and there was one below that, and I can't remember the name offhand. It was some Frenchy sounding name, but basically it was like the equivalent of a Sharp Wizard at the time, the OZ series.
Yeah,
it was their front runner. Bottom line is, the main reason they bought it was it would look fit the part, and three, it was damn cheap compared to the other PDAs at the time. So it was like $69. They buy it, they dress it up, scratch Scion off the side, and then you see this deal where a guy's driving by. And you see these, you know, those mysterious hands pull something up and hit a button. Beep, and the thing blows up, and he puts it in his pocket or whatever and runs away. I sold him that.
The detonator.
Yeah, which is the Scion that they used to make the detonator.
It.
I sold them. And we were all giddy as schoolgirls because I think it opened up the second or third season, and they called us to tell us when it was going to air. And we're all over at Andy Tarkson's place. Eating popcorn, sitting on the couch. Tarkson was, at that time, he was the sales guy that represented Texas. He worked out of the Chicago office but lived here.
Yeah.
And we're watching this episode. It was so cool. And then because of that, amongst the other sales, I was the number one salesperson for Scion at CompUSA and won an all-expense-paid trip to go to London, along with my second-place cohort, who was from New York. There was a guy that was supposed to go with him. I think it was a third place, but they stopped him at the airport because his passport wasn't in order, so he didn't make it on the flight.
Man.
He was from Nigeria or something. And so he didn't – his Nigerian passport was expired, or he needed a U.S. passport, or he had dual citizenship, and they said, pick one.
Now, yeah. That has got to hurt.
Oh, it was sad. We left him. I mean, he's standing at the gate
watching us
walk off.
See ya.
And I'm like, you know, got to go, babe.
Man, I am so sorry, but I'm out of here.
I'm looking at the New York guy, and I'm like, he's yours. You comfort him. I'm getting on a plane. But, yeah, that was the story with me and Walker, Texas Ranger. So later on, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Mike Quigley. He's sitting in Vancouver, Canada, and he has the best ultimate Hawaii 5-0 page. And I'll put the link in so you guys can follow along. Of course, the box set has come out. I'll give you my opinion and review on it in the third hour coming up. And, wow, cool night. And, of course, Chris and I are the only ones that dressed Hawaiian and supposed to have read the memo that we talked about last week.
I got a Texas. It's South Hawaii.
South Hawaii.
South Hawaii.
Okay.
Texas.
Yeah, that's like
a little suburb.
That's like where I don't have any Western clothes, so I wore a Hawaiian shirt and a little Panama hat.
Southernmost island.
And when they was at the Monopoly thing and they said, what are you dressed up as? Because everybody had to dress up Western. I said, well, don't you know? I'm a catfish baron. I said, don't you mean a cattle baron? I said, no, catfish baron. It's a catfish baron. I said, well, you know, farm, all the catfish here is farm raised. So I have a string of catfish farms, so I am a catfish baron. And half of the people went, oh, I get it. Amanda Dunbar looked at me funny. And then the other half, like Bo and Jim from 19 and a half, are going, dude, you must be stoned. And we're not. Speaking of which, Amanda Dunbar... did all of the stuff, like took the vests and whatever, when we did Benihana, took the aprons over, worked with the kids from Wednesday's Child, and they would paint and create the vests, and we'd all sign them and auction them off. Amanda's in the news, and I got to send her a card and congratulate her. She is now at 24, the youngest working artist in the state of Texas. She won an award, got on it this week. She was on Channel 8. Of course, the Gloria Campos talked about it because, you know, the Wednesday Child Connection, she sits on the board. But we still love Amanda. She's a great kid. I didn't realize she was 24. She's been all over the world, and she's 24.
I know.
She's been around the block worldwide more than I have. And I was like, let's see, when I first met her, she had to be 19, 20. Before that, she was down in Galapagos painting sea turtles or something, mural paintings. She looks like she's 30. I mean, she's very adult acting. If you saw her, you'd think, okay, she's 28, 30. But 24, I did not expect. All right, let's go out there where Mike is out there in Cleveland. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. The only person who's ever appeared on a talk I'm the talk show specialist. I never did an appearance at anything.
You never were on a talk show?
I was on a talk show, but that was just about it. I never was on a drama show, sitcom, never.
Oh, okay. Well, you living in Cleveland, God, I mean, as much as Drew Carey.
That's boring, you know. You have to wait till all these people show up from Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, being in Cleveland, as much as Drew Carey filmed around there, I figured you would have shot up as an extra or something.
Yeah, I'm out there in the suburbs, you know, Nowheresville, you know?
Oh, okay.
Mike, you're on Cyberline. What more do you need to do other than that?
Yeah, I mean, you could go into the IMDb and say, Mike from Cleveland, Cyberline, you know, and
yeah,
whatever the years. And
yeah,
you know, and then down to the side, you just put in the parentheses, deleted scenes.
You know, nice plug to your show.
Yeah, there you go, see?
Yeah, about the Y50.
Right.
You would be 40 years. I remember when it first came on.
Yeah, well, I just, you know.
Yeah, but who's sue of yesteryear's television guest stars.
Now, was that one of the first of the really long-running shows? What ran longer than that?
My Three Sons.
MASH.
Gunsmoke. Was the granddaddy of all Mark.
Right.
20 years.
Yeah, that would
20 years for Gunsmoke?
Well, you got to remember, Gunsmoke had a longer life than that. You're talking about radio,
uh-huh.
when Robert Conrad used to be there.
Matt Dillon.
Right, and then it moved into television, which was in the 60s. And then it eventually went into the 70s and went color. And I think it finally died, what, 76 or 79? I mean, Gunsmoke was still on when Hawaii 5-0 was on. So there was a good 25 years.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, not to mention it started on radio. Hawaii 5-0 started in 68 and went off in 1980, 12 seasons.
That's pretty long for a television show.
Yeah. My Three Sons would probably be up there.
If
you want to get technical, now we're talking about like a regular show. The longest running show ever on network television, of course, would be The Wonderful World of Disney.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Right. Because that goes back to the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they finally stopped doing it, what, in the late 70s, 80s, somewhere near. And then they
Walt Disney made it all.
Yeah. And now
I thought it ran longer than that.
Oh, it's back to the, you know, Walt was alive when it started.
Oh, yeah, he was quite a character.
And he died in 65.
Yep. One off, 66.
Yeah.
December 66.
Right, December 66. So, you know, that was probably the longest one. Gunsmoke is a regular drama, comedy, something of that caliber. It'd be Gunsmoke, My Three Sons, MASH's 11 seasons. There's several other shows that would probably get the Cheers, maybe.
Cheers.
It would come pretty close.
The rest of them.
Yeah, Cheers would come pretty close.
Cosby Show.
Beverly Hillbillies seems like it ran forever, but it was really 64 to 71. So that was about seven seasons.
About right. It came out in 62.
62, okay.
Animations. How long did the Flintstones run?
All right, now there's another one.
66.
Yeah, there's another one.
That was originally for adults because they sponsored Winston's, of all things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Barney and
now,
Barney
as I
and
heard,
Fred
the,
smoking
the
cigarettes.
Flintstones was like the answer to the Honeymooners.
Right. Flintstones were the longest-running animated series until The Simpsons came along and broke that record. Mike, we're going to move on. We're going to get to our guest here, and we'll talk to you next week. All right, we're coming up. The ultimate Hawaii 5-0 page. We must find out what makes this guy tick. We'll be right back.
Around the world, 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 around the world.
Nick Williams, Cyberline with you. 800-992-8721. We still got the question out there. Were you in Hawaii? Have you been to Hawaii? What are your recollections of Hawaii? Because, oh, Six has been to Hawaii?
Yes.
You have when?
When I was six.
When you were six, Six was in Hawaii.
Yes.
And why are you still not there?
I was just there on a vacation.
Oh, okay. And you enjoyed the place?
I was too young at the time.
Oh, see, now he goes back. Now he'll enjoy the place. We'll never get him out of the casinos. But, yeah, if you've got a recollection of Hawaii or Hawaii 5-0, or if you're an extra or anything, we'd love to hear from you. 800-992-8. Don't call the 900 number. No, don't do that. 800-992-8721. All right. As I said, it's Hawaii 5-0 night. Some of us are dressed in garb. Some of us are not. That's okay. We're still having fun. And let's get on with it now. Got to set the mood. I'd pay good money to sit up on that balcony and do my little thing for the camera. All right. We're going out. The Hawaii 5-0 first season box set is out. We're going to do the review here at the top of the hour. But meanwhile, a couple years ago, it came back into syndication. And, of course, the Internet was available. That wonderful thing called the Internet Movie Database. And I said, wow. You know, I haven't seen this since the kid. I didn't remember much of it. You know, my parents, every Sunday night, we had one TV set in the house. And it was tuned to Hawaii 5-0. If you didn't like Hawaii 5-0 in the house, forget it. Go play with your toys. Beat the dog in the head with a Tonka truck. It doesn't matter. Because you are not going to watch anything else until Hawaii 5-0 was over. Okay? So now I was kind of like, I was a little disgruntled at the time because I had to watch Hawaii 5-0. But now as it came back to syndication, I was kind of getting more and more into it. And the beauty of the Internet allowed me to find out about these people. And as I was going along, I realized two things. One, boy, the Internet Movie Database didn't have squat on Hawaii 5-0, except for main characters and occasional people. There's a lot of stuff in the credits that ran that weren't there. The second thing I found was this wonderful website, and which I call the Ultimate Hawaii 5-0 page. And I'm kind of shocked here because this gentleman has done such a fantastic job. And you think, well, the guy must live in Hawaii. He doesn't. Calling us from Vancouver, Canada, it's Mike Quigley of the Ultimate Hawaii 5-0 page. Mike, are you there?
I am here.
So I've got to ask the question, what is a nice guy like you doing in Vancouver, British Columbia, doing an Ultimate Hawaii 5-0 webpage? What got all that started?
Well, I was lucky because the American TV station called KVOS, which is just over the border, was broadcasting Hawaii 5-0 on a regular basis around 1993-94. When I just happened to be out of work, and I had a lot of time to watch it. So, you know, I could get quite a lot of the seasons directly from them. And then when I went on the Internet, I had some, I had several friends there, one of whom was in eastern United States in Pennsylvania, and he was a big fan of Magnum PI, another show made in Hawaii,
right,
which was being shown on KLMO in Seattle. And so we started to trade tapes so I could get tapes of the shows that I hadn't seen from KVOS.
Wow.
And I actually did watch the show when it was on originally. I remember, you know, like around 19, must have been in the early 70s. I had a friend, I didn't actually have a TV in the early 1970s because I was going to university. And I had a friend of mine who, you know, lived down the street from me. And I would go over to his house. And for some reason, I started watching this Hawaii 5-0 show, which, you know, I thought was really cool. And then I went to Japan for a couple of years in the early 70s. I came back, and I distinctly remember watching some of these shows when they were originally on. Like, one of my favorite shows is called Nine Dragons. It's one of the shows with, you know, the archvillain Wolf Adam.
Oh, yeah. That was a two-parter, too, I think.
It was indeed. And it's a show where McGarrett sort of trails Wolfat to Hong Kong. And, of course, you know, Wolfat captures him and tortures him horribly. So,
right.
But I distinctly remember the, you know, the horrible torture scenes. And you know, then there was a big gap in my life as far as 5-0 was concerned between, like, the late 70s and, you know, like, the early 90s, like I just mentioned, when I finally caught up with it.
Well, I remember watching it, you know, my parents would watch it on Sunday night when it was on CBS, It was on Channel 4 here back when they were a CBS affiliate. And then later on, it would show up on 11 when it went to syndication. And then, as we were mentioning before, it ran on CBS Late Night Movie after it left in 80, and then they retooled it and called it McGarrett.
Right.
So it kind of caught up a little bit there. And then, of course, you have that gap for a while where it just kind of quietly went out of syndication. And then when it came back a couple years ago, and I was watching it at the time on Channel 27, and I would record it, was on in the mornings, and by the time I get home, 8, 9 o'clock at night, I was watching, it's like, ooh, this is just like watching it back in the old days. You know, it's at night, and you're going, oh, we got to go watch Hawaii Five-O. And I started watching it more and more, and then I start seeing some of the later episodes, like, oh, yeah, I remember that one. Okay, you know, and the openings and things like that. So, as I said, this is a fantastic little site. And, I mean, you have really gotten down and dirty on this. I mean, license plate numbers, little bits of trivia. How do you keep track? How did you keep track of all that and be able to get all that down as accurately as you did?
Okay, well, when I was watching it in the early 90s, you know, I started to pick up on the things like the continuity errors and, you know, just some of the trivia and stuff like that. So I started to write it down, you know, like I make notes for a specific show. And then in around 1995, I think it was, the X-Files was showing or was being filmed in Vancouver. And, you know, it was sort of like a local pride thing here, you know. So I thought, well, geez, they're being filmed in Vancouver. That's really cool. So I got to do something about the X-Files. So I actually started a web page, and the first thing I put up was an X-Files page. But then I thought, well, I got all this Hawaii Five-O stuff here. I got, like, all this stuff written about all these shows. So I made up a sort of a really simple 5-0 page, and it just sort of went from there. And, you know, and then the other thing was I made friends with a lady called Karen Rhodes who lives in Florida. She was the boss of the Hawaii 5-0 fan club at the time. It was called the Iolani Palace Irregulars. And I got a lot of stuff from her. I got a lot of, like, you know, newsletters and stuff like back issues, and I got a lot of fan fiction, which they used to publish in these, like, spiral-bound books. And that was sort of the basis of the website. And then after that, there was the convention in 1996. And, of course, you know, I had to go to that.
Let me ask you, back up just a moment now. You're talking about fan fiction of Hawaii Five-O and spirals?
Well, no, there was in, like, spiral-bound books. They were quite thick books, you know, they're a couple hundred pages.
Now, I remember something like that when, like, the Star Trek fans were just kind of starting out. People write fanzines and stories and everything. So there was actually something similar like that for Hawaii Five-O.
Correct. Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
That is still floating around, though, because I think there's sort of like rights issues involved, you know, like the copyrights for the people that wrote the stories.
Right.
It'd be kind of a hassle to put it up. But I've often debated whether or not I should just throw it up and get in touch with some of these people, because a lot of them are still around.
Well, I didn't even know that was, you know, that kind of a fan base.
There's quite a lot of it. If you go to some of the 5-0 websites that we have now, you'll find a lot of these stories there. I've got a couple on my own website, actually.
Okay. And, of course, you know, I was watching everything going on about the movie and everything. You were kind of covering a lot of that. And then, of course, one day I hadn't been on in a while. It's been probably about 6 months. I thought, well, I was looking through my list of links and went, oh, there's a Hawaii Five-O page. Maybe I better check in. And then lo and behold, it's right there on your page. It was announced the box set was coming out March 6th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, there's been a rumor about that for quite a while, actually. I think there was a mention of it in, like, the Wall Street Journal. There was an article about Paramount TV and what they were doing. But it took quite a while to get the 5-0 DVDs out. But apparently they are a huge success. They're being sold out all over the place.
Yeah, and that's amazing because, you know, you don't think much in the generation that we come from. It's probably, what, one or two more generations since that didn't grow up with Hawaii Five-O, probably have never seen Hawaii Five-O in syndication for whatever reasons, it wasn't in the market or whatever. And then to turn around and they finally, I know there was some fighting between Leonard Freeman's estate and CBS Television as to who owned the rights and everything. And, of course, talk about the movie and then the movie that bombed horribly. And then finally, I guess, everybody kissed and made up and said, okay, now we're coming out with a box set. And to think that all of this has gone on almost 40 years later, here's the box set. And people are like, oh, Hawaii Five-O, and it's flying off the shelves.
Yeah, well, it's really flying off the shelves in Hawaii from what I'm told.
Yeah. I was noticing some of the comments here. DVDs are sold out in Hawaii. Costco, Walmart, none of the stores have DVDs in Hawaii. You were saying something about Amazon is out of it?
Oh, I was told. The Amazon's out of it. It's seriously back ordered. You've got to wait quite a while to get it now.
That is amazing.
And, you know, there's some people on, there's still some people on eBay and on Amazon that are selling it, you know, like sort of third-party sellers, right?
Right.
But that seems to be about it. I don't know. It's just weird, you know. Like, I think they, I don't know if they sort of underpressed it or they didn't anticipate there would be such a huge demand.
That's possible, but the good thing is that that obviously shows that there is very much interest in Hawaii Five-O. And, guys, this is just the first box set. This is the first season. There's, like, what, 11 more seasons to go?
Right.
Correct.
So that's going to be good. Okay, well, we're coming up on a break. Mike, hang on with us. We're going to talk some more about the website and some things. And a little bit of trivia. We're not going to tax Mike too much here. But we definitely want to get to know and let you know about some stuff. Plus, talk a little bit about the Jack Lord auction as well. It's Mick Williams Cyberline. We'll be right back. Cyberline with you. 800-992-8721. Right here into the room, host, cyber-line.com. Talking with Mike Quigley out there in Vancouver, B.C., and what I refer to as the ultimate Hawaii 5-0 page. And, Mike, you still with us?
You betcha.
Okay. Hey, I'm just kind of looking here, since we're in the Season 1 box set, and I'm looking at the 5-0 Oddities Goofs Trivia for Season 1. And Stranger in Our Own Land was a really nice episode, and the fact it dealt with a lot of stuff happening on the island as, you know, the people, the indigenous being there, and then all of a sudden people from the mainland coming in and building things. But one of the two things I noticed here is Samurai, I watched again with Ricardo Montalban, who's trying to, you know, pass himself off as Japanese. And I didn't realize, I thought Josie Over had showed up maybe in the second, third, or fourth season, but she's actually in episode 7, so I guess she is in the first season.
The Waves of Love, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I also enjoyed, I can't remember which one it was, but there was the episode where the guys, was like a race car driver and all these different people, they were very rich, and there was like an insurance company who had payments on them, they were killing them off to cash in the insurance. Do you remember that one? I think it was like about fourth or fifth.
The race car, the one race car driver I remember was, there's another show with Ricardo Montalban.
Right. He was later on the season. But this is one where, like, there was a guy on a boat, and he goes out, and he's yelling at his son or something, calling him an idiot. He goes on the boat, and it blows up. And then there's this guy who goes out for a drive, and they show that stock footage of the guy, you know, hitting the wall and blowing up like they have in the opening credits, which was also, I think, part of the Ricardo Montalban one. But my favorite line here is that you had described that episode, and there was this blonde in a bikini that I guess was married to the guy. And, of course, Danny Williams, James MacArthur, has to go and interview her. And she had this brief little bit part. I don't think she's even in the credits. I've still tried to find out who she is. And he's interviewing her, and she's, like, sitting in a bikini. And you could tell from what you were even saying, and I was like, after going back watching, going, you know what, you're absolutely right, that he just could not take his eyes off of her, even though he was playing the scene.
Yeah, actually, that woman, her name is not in the show itself. But
right.
There's another show later on where they have, like, a list of people that are taking an airline flight or something, and there's all these people listed, and actually there's a whole bunch of in-jokes in the list, and that woman's name is actually in the list. You can sort of, like, you know, work backwards from that list to figure out who she is. The show I think you're referring to, is that the one called Force of Waves, number 55? There's a boat gets blown up at the beginning of that one, and one of the character actors in there is John Vernon, a Canadian actor.
Yeah, who was Dean Wormer in Animal House.
Yeah.
The other one I didn't realize was there was a one 12-foot. It was about the fake tsunami that WoFat did for the weather thing. And there's Keenan Wynn played the scientist. And they kidnap him.
Just hang on a sec. I don't think that's not the one.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Will Gear. Will Gear from the Waltons.
Will Gear, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Sabrina Sheriff was cast to play his daughter. And
right, that's High and It Kills, number 26.
Yeah, yeah.
That one is weird. Whatever happened to Sabrina Sharf, you know? I mean, she was in some biker movies as well.
Well, she also played Miramani in the episode of Star Trek where Kirk falls in the obelisk and he thinks he's an Indian there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And gets married in 58 days. But ironically, she kind of dropped out of acting, and she, of all things, was an assemblywoman for the state of California.
Oh, really? Was that recently?
I think it was within the late 80s, early 90s she served in the assembly.
Yeah, I've often wondered if she was related to a guy named Walter Scharf, who was a well-known film music composer. It's quite possible. I don't know.
Yeah, and I was amazed that, you know, all the people, as I went through, I said, well, whatever happened to these people? And that kind of shocked me. I was like, well, she was just kind of she wasn't a bad actress, but she was kind of, you know, she wasn't high up there, but she just kind of, she found some good parts and kept moving and moving, and then she kind of dropped off. And then I was reading something that there's like a public affairs show or something, and she was part of the panel, and there was a transcript talking about gun control or something that they were trying to pass in the legislature. And I was like, well, I'll be darned, there she is. So
yeah.
It's amazing that, you know, where a lot of these people ended up, of course, some unfortunately no longer with us. But, I mean, as you look through everything that you have here, it just really cracked me up was like, my God, he's got it right down to the license plate number and all the little, you know, little things and stuff. And a funny thing is I watched, I just saw it. It was here on the disc. Which one was it I watched? It was, gosh, my name escapes me now. But basically what it was is that, it was Stranger in a Strange Land. That's what it was. And talk about how good the print is. Compared to back then, TV wasn't the greatest, but, you know, now we have all these high-resolution sets and everything. There was a scene, the woman that took the picture that they, you know, handed McGarrett of the Super 8 film, then they went looking for her, and then Danny Williams comes up on her, and the guy's trying to kill her off. And I saw this, and you hear her screaming, and he goes in, they show the scene, and there's that bad guy trying to strangle her there in the living room. And I caught something real quick, and it went on, and I said, wait a minute. And I backed it up, and I realized it was a stand-in.
Oh, yeah.
It was a guy in a wig and a dress.
Yeah, really?
I just noticed that.
Okay, well, I'll have to take a closer look at that.
Yeah, well, that's what's neat about this stuff now, because all the high-resolution stuff, you know, you could get away with it back then, because maybe you got 100 or 200 lines of resolution out of your old round picture tube.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to see in these new cleaned-up things, even Star Trek and other series, you can see when they're fighting who the stand-ins are.
That makes me wonder, is that filmed, does that use film or is that video tape?
Hawaii 5-0 would definitely be film.
I think it was done on 35 millimeter, actually.
A lot of stuff was back then.
Quality is very clear.
Yeah. And then they started in the 80s.
If it's done 35 millimeter, you should be able to take it over to high def.
Right.
A much better picture.
And then in the 80s, like with the start of Newhart and other shows, then they went, because videotape then was cheap, and they moved to video. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you see her, if you freeze it on the DVD, you can see him shaking her, and you can see the legs. You know, she's wearing pantyhose, and you see the wig. But then when they show her on the floor and she's holding her neck, because she was strangled, totally different woman. You could tell that she, like, lost a lot of weight when she's there.
Boy, it does make you want to get Blu-ray now.
Oh, yeah. But I tell you, I'm really fascinated with this site. I went through and I followed when 27 was running. Every day I'd have my notebook in front of me, and then I'd find out what the episode was, and I'd click on, and I'd go to season 5 or season 12 or whatever. And I also, you know, started learning from your site all these little ins and outs about these episodes that I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, man, this is so great. And I hope
that's cool with the DVDs coming out here, because, like, I haven't really done many updates for this website for a few years, but actually, in the last week or two, I've actually added some extra stuff for the first season, so I'm hoping we're going to get more seasons because I'm finding lots more stuff.
Well, I hope we do, too, and I think this is going to be great. 12 seasons coming up, your website to help people get along. And by the way, if they want to check out the website, man, where do they go?
It's www.mjq, like Modern Jazz Quartet, .net/50. It's spelled F-I-V-E-O.
Right.
Letter O, not zero.
And we'll also put it from time to time. We're going to also put it in the chat room. So if anybody wants to jump over and take a look at it as well. And Mike, thanks so much for being on. Hopefully as the box sets come out, maybe we'll check in again and find out some more things and little known trivia maybe you might have picked up and added to the page as well, since you and I will both be watching the box sets, I'm sure.
Sure.
And be able to do that. And again, thanks for being on. And I tell you, I'm going to be just shouting to the rooftops as these box sets come out and say, and you've got to check out the homepage. Got to go see the Hawaii 5-0 page.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Same here, man. And thanks again. Hang on here at the top of the hour. I'll talk to you offline.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Top of the hour. One more hour left. We're having a great time tonight. You get a chance to win a box set yourself. We're going to do that in the next hour. But before we do, I've got to give you my review. And also, Chris has seen it. We'll talk about it. The Hawaii Five-O first season box set. But until then, around the world via the internet and coast to coast via satellite, you're listening to Mick Williams Cyberline on the USA Radio Network.